What is going on, everybody? It is the Habibi Show. We are back. I am with the Habibi himself. Thank you guys for waiting. I have been getting messages, Samer, from people and in Cancun saying, hey, what's happening with the Habibi Show? Why haven't you guys been around? Well, obviously, over the last couple of months, we've got hit by a hurricane that was threw everything off. Then you threw your shoulder off.
I know.
Too, as well. So he got injured. He had surgery, too, as well. And then, of course, business happened, and we just got caught into everyday life. But, Habibi, I am glad to be back in my therapy session.
I miss it.
I miss it.
I really miss it because I feel like not just being with you and your staff, amazing staff, really. But also, I feel like when I'm in front of the camera, I'm talking to some friends or talking to some people that maybe watch or send feedback. They enjoyed it. So it's really nice.
No, it's really cool to see the show. You know, obviously, I think there are only like five people watch it.
But it seems to be we just started.
There's people that I, a lot more people than I think, than I know of, because I was in Cozumel Airport on the way back here just recently, and somebody stopped me there at the airport and said, hey, you're on the Habibi Show.
That was the immigration. they were looking for you.
Right. We got to take you to the back room.
La Migra.
Yes. But no, it's really cool. And then when I go to parties or if I go to events with you.
Yes, that's right.
They bring up the Habibi Show.
And that's right. Yeah.
Why do these people listen and follow? Yeah. I don't know. But you guys are listening. Thank you guys for tuning in. And we're back at the Habibi Show. And Samer, tell me what's been going on in your world.
Really, like you said earlier, for the last couple of months, it kind of get out of balance for some reason. But maybe it's expected. I mean, this whole year has been very unusual with what's going on, you know, around the world as far as political or financial or economical, a lot of things. But man, I had a surgery. I don't know if anybody had a rotator cuff surgery. It is the worst surgery anybody could ever have. So I'm telling you,
I don't want to mention how you injured yourself because it is rated. We have some kids listening and watching.
No, that was the other. That was the other shoulder. This one hurt it first. But I told her she has to lose weight. But anyway, that's a different story. So really, if anybody have any shoulder pain that's just starting, take care of it. You don't want it to get to the point that you tore your rotator cuff, because it is the most annoying surgery I've ever had in my life.
I mean, yeah, I remember.
And the recovery is like 6 months. So I'm into like maybe now 10 weeks, 9 weeks.
Yeah.
And still, you know, it's very difficult.
And I remember just a few weeks ago, I went to go have a lunch with you and there in Katy, way out in Katy, by the way. But I had to spoon feed you because you could. I had to get the chips and salsa and put it to Samer.
No, that's not rotator
cuff. That's how bad it was.
That has nothing to do with the rotator cuff. That had to do with how much we had to drink. But I liked it. It was very nice. Salud, Habibi.
And thank you guys for joining us. You know, we've last couple weeks have been chaotic for myself as well.
Why? What's going on?
Well, you know, summertime, we hit a lull here in the business, but we picked back up and we got, you know.
I see good signs.
Yeah, things are picking up here. It's really good. How is your personal life going?
I am very happy. Mm-hmm. My daughter, you know, who's a therapist.
Yeah.
Not like massage, no, therapist, like therapist for family and marriage and stuff. She's moving to New York, so that's exciting.
I remember she's moving in December, right?
That's correct, December, mid-December, right after my birthday. She said, I'll be here to your birthday, Dad, so that's...
By the way, if you're watching, Samer's birthday is December 6th.
Oh, my God, this is very cool that you remember that. Thank you.
December 6th.
Thank you very much.
When is my birthday?
It was not too long ago.
No, what is it?
It was not too long ago. You're 25, right? Well, I said it one time. You don't believe me? That's fine. When is it?
It's April 28th.
That's what I said.
That's exactly April what you said. Yeah. Thank you, brother.
So happy birthday.
That's usually, by the way, every year for the last 4 years on my birthday, I've been in Cozumel.
Yes. You were in Cozumel on your birthday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just got back from Cozumel.
I did.
Did you have fun?
I had a blast. I had a great
time. Really? And that's very nice that you take your team for a team session.
Yeah, we did some training. We did training out there. We got some of our staff from Mexico City out there too as well. It's a great team bonding. We do work while we're out there, by the way. Yeah. So if your clients that are watching and think, why are they always traveling? Well, we do work.
The great thing
about what we do at Brand Nation is that we could take our computers and we can work from anywhere in the world where there's internet. And we're out there and we every morning pop up laptops and get stuff done.
No, but your business is really based on creativity.
Yes.
So it's good to change scenery and see. But I know you guys work very hard because one day, like at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I received a call from a couple of people from your team, without mentioning any names.
At 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yes. They were drunk. They didn't know how to get in the house. They said that they've been trying to call you, but you would not answer. They see you.
Asleep.
They saw you running around. Like your shadow. They saw you running around and you wouldn't open the door. So finally they called me and then I give them the code.
Well, thank you so much for letting them in. I was trying to kick them out.
But the funny thing is one of them said, oh my God, the code worked. I said, yes, it's my house. Of course it's going to work. Why would it not work? So please, next time open the door.
I will open the door. Yeah, so they won't have to call
you.
But
they saw you running around. With a towel around your waist.
Well, me and Eva were there having fun.
No, Eva was one of the people calling from outside the house.
Well, I was trying to break my shoulder. I was suffering a shoulder injury.
But I have to say, really, I was very fortunate because anybody that had the surgery probably would know what I'm talking about. But the first 2-3 weeks, you barely can do anything.
Yeah.
But my girlfriend, Nilo. Amazing. Yeah, Nilo. She's amazing.
Not Milo.
She was, Nilo. So she was amazing. Really.
She is incredible.
She took very good care. She helped me a lot, really.
Incredible.
She helped me a lot, really. So no, I mean, I'm not going to go as far as incredible, okay? So she doesn't get
too
incredible. Cocky.
I believe she's
but
incredible.
But she is incredible. Yeah,
she is. She is. So, she is. Nilo,
especially
you're watching.
If she's listening.
I get it.
No, she's a wonderful person. But it was great to have that support while going through this shoulder surgery because it was so painful. But, I had...
You're back.
I had back surgery. Normal. Oh, yeah. I had back surgery. I had knee surgeries.
Surgery? When did you have that?
A long time ago. I had three because soccer and stuff. I had an adenectomy. You know what's adenectomy?
No, what's that?
It's opposite.
They make you basically a woman.
They make you
like,
small.
Like that waitress.
Let's not go there. That's not nice. That is not nice to talk about people like that. But so this was definitely horrible.
Your name is Samantha.
Only on Thursday
Only
and Fridays.
On Thursday, Fridays.
So,
at Cucharas.
Did you see the new show?
I don't watch.
Love is Blind, Habibi.
I know. Oh, I sent that to you. Remember?
Yes.
I saw it there, but I haven't seen it. No.
Mr. Nolan, have you seen that show?
I heard it.
Love is Blind, Habibi. Well, don't watch it. It's the most stupid show I've ever seen in my life.
I saw it.
Actually, okay. Look, it is. I think it's very stupid. But it's addictive.
Right.
Because you can't stop. You're like, you want to know how stupid, how much more stupid you're going to get. But it's kind of like, it's on Netflix.
Right.
And it's kind of like Bachelorette and Bachelor. Mm-hmm.
I know the concept of the show. I've seen Eva sitting there.
Watching it?
Yes. And Eva watches Love is Blind. And I hate it. I can't stand the show.
And also, there is Love is Blind.
Mexico.
And Dubai, Habibi, and then also London, I think, or England. And different
Love is
places.
Blind in Houston.
And now there is another show called Dubai Bling.
Okay, I think I've seen that, where they're real estate agents.
Exactly, yes. But really, all these shows are, in my opinion, they're a sign of... like an illness.
A culture.
In the society.
They represent our culture.
Because it's so fake.
Yeah.
But people are addicted to
it. Well, social media is like that too.
That's right.
Speaking of social media, You know that we're going, we went viral on TikTok.
I know.
Do you see that? So on TikTok, we had, let me pull this up real quick. We had over half a million.
Is that the teacher that was, dancing
no,
naked
no,
in
no,
the
I'm
class?
Talking about the Habibi show.
Oh.
I'm talking about the Habibi show.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, how did that happen?
You have over half a million.
Did you take off your shirt?
No.
So what happened?
So this one right here.
Habibi actually is becoming like a very, very popular word. I travel business. And
look, now look at the views. 473,000 views.
No way. Text me this.
Yes.
To show off in front of my employees.
Yeah, so we're going viral. And but
you said it.
But the question though was, what does Habibi mean? And I don't think you answered it correctly. Because what the comments.
Oh.
Let's read the comments.
What did I say Habibi is?
The comments, because the question was in this video was, what does Habibi mean?
And what did I say?
Well, let's go to the comments and see what the comments said, and then you'll get to represent.
Because I know I was right.
You kind of went. This person says, Kamala answering questions.
That's a good one.
How to talk about. Another person says, how to talk about anything else without answering the question.
Very good. Very good. So I'm a good politician.
This person goes, this is how I write my essays.
So he's a very successful businessman.
And then somebody goes, let me know if he ever says what it means.
Well, that's going to be in the next episode. So you have to tune in.
So all these people, they're waiting.
Which episode was that?
They're still waiting for you to answer.
Which episode was that? What number episode
was that?
Was
number
that?
Two or number three.
Number
but
okay,
these people,
well,
are, these the people are still...
Of, the meaning
okay,
of
let me ask you again. So, because these people are waiting.
Yes.
What does Habibi mean?
The meaning of Habibi... You have to watch episode two or three.
They're going to go in a circle, Kamala Harris.
Well, Habibi, everybody have a different, like in the Arabic word, Habibi is my love.
Okay.
But, I mean, like I said, what's wrong with that guy saying Kamala answer? You know, Habibi, no. I said it's a term of endearment.
You said at the end? This is...
He goes, well, that's good. That's good. At least somebody's paying attention.
Yes. And people are all watching the show. Some person goes, OMG, we didn't want his life story. Oh, my God. Anyways, so if you're watching and you've been waiting for Habibi to answer that question.
What Habibi?
The half a million people that have been waiting for this. Again, what does Habibi mean?
For real?
For real, yes.
For real?
For real.
Or like
what does it mean?
Political?
No. No Kamala.
No
Kamala.
No, Habibi is a term of endearment.
Okay.
You can say Habibi to your...
Brother.
Brother, to your dad, to your son. And also you can say it to your wife.
Right.
You know, now I realize I really never answered because I just said how and when you can say it.
It was a very political response.
But I never said what it actually means.
Exactly.
What, like I'm doing now.
And it happened to be that one video that went viral.
Because I didn't answer the question. So Habibi, so look, what difference does it make what it means? Is how to use it.
So there's, Habibi is if it's another guy, right? And Habibti, if it's a woman, right?
No, you can say Habibi to a girl too.
Uh-huh.
It's like when you see a bunch of girls and say, hey, how you guys doing? Oh, right?
Right.
Or you don't do that.
I now call my Muslim clients Habibi. I do.
For real?
I do.
Well, that's very racist. You should say your Arabic speaking friends, not Muslim. Arabic. What if you have a...
My Arabic.
What if you have a Chinese Muslim? They're not going to know what Habibi is.
Well, I don't know if they're Arabic because they're Chinese.
Well, how do you know they're Muslim?
I don't know if they're Muslim. They have to tell me. I'll call them Habibi.
So actually, Habibi is whatever you want it to be.
Okay. I do start calling my friends Habibi.
Really?
Yes.
It's an easy word. It's like, hi, baby.
Hi, baby.
Nolan, do you know what Habibi means?
He does now.
No. He still doesn't know because I never answered the question.
He was waiting. He was one of the 500,000 that watched.
You know, I would like to know what is it to everybody else.
Right.
What it means. Because everybody have a different
opinion
of it.
Yeah.
Plus, I left Egypt a long time ago. I don't remember.
But did you see where the Muslims endorsed Trump?
Yes. But listen, you know what? This is getting to be like a used car salesman.
Uh-huh.
Trying to sell a car.
But you don't think Muslims and Trump get better along than Trump? Kamala and the Muslims?
I don't think we should like segregate it or divide it by, well, Muslim like this and Christian like this and Jews. Everybody have a different... At the end, it's business.
At the end of the day, people do congregate with people they relate to the most.
Well, I mean, also there's some people that say he called all Muslim terrorists.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like he took it out of context.
And he called all Mexicans are
rapists.
He didn't say that.
He didn't say that. No, he didn't. But it got twisted out of context for sure.
Is going up or down?
It's going up.
It's going up. Oh, so we still have a long time.
We do.
We better think of something intelligent to say.
All right. So the other day I was coming back from Cozumel and I was picked up by an incredible. I'm saying incredible a lot today. But I was picked up by Excelsior Transportation. Didn't have to wait the long lines at the airport. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys picked me up.
I arranged it. I didn't.
Eva called and set it up. And we were picked up in a nice car, comfortable. I had to worry about the person talking so much. And in fact, when I brought my luggage, they carried our luggage to the car and put it in.
Who did that?
I forgot it.
That driver is fired.
But I tell you what, if I waited in the Uber line, I wouldn't have gotten that treatment. And I probably wouldn't have gotten in a nice, comfortable car. In fact, I probably would have gotten a car where it was uncomfortable, smelled like smoke. And it was like, can we hurry up and get home? Anyways, the driver was there waiting for me at the airport with my sign, with my name on the iPad waiting for us. And it was an incredible experience. And every time I use Excelsior Transportation, it is a phenomenal experience. And I highly recommend it. Excelsior Transportation, whether you're going from the airport to your house or from the airport to a business conference, they are the transportation that you need for your business or for you and your personal life and your family. In fact, I trust Excelsior with my own kids, taking them from point A to point B. Excelsior Transportation, make sure you guys reach out to them. Okay, so, I mean, Nilo is a phenomenal,
she's
incredible
wonderful.
Woman.
She's wonderful.
We got to hang out with you guys a few weeks
ago. No Eva.
She's no, yeah.
She's
well,
no Eva.
Yes.
Eva.
She's close.
Eva.
She's close.
Someday.
Some days.
Yeah, someday. Mm-hmm. Someday she will.
Right.
Right now, she's no Eva.
No Eva. However, we met with you. We hung out with you guys like a couple of weeks back.
At the Ballard House. What's it called? The Ballard
and
House?
And this was... fancy party.
Yeah.
This was a party you would see in LA.
And this guy comes with like a t-shirt with holes in it.
I thought it was just a fundraiser and it was going to get together. And I didn't realize this guy lived in a 30,000 square foot home.
But you looked very good.
Mansion.
You look.
It was a mansion.
I used to live right next door to him.
That you live, brother, you live very lavishly.
Well,
very lavish.
Not anymore.
Very lavish life.
Not anymore. Now it's more spiritual.
You know? You could thank Kamala for that.
That's right. No, but you know, it's not funny, but it was funny, I think, that night. I don't know if you know that we were sitting there and there was another couple.
You're talking about the girl that was tattooed?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what she did?
I heard.
What?
That she would do a threesome, something like that?
No. Not threesomes. She was hitting on my girlfriend.
Oh, yes. So she was something like that. So something like that, yes.
Yes. I thought that was cool. No.
Yeah.
No, but...
She was wild. I mean, we were at a big fancy party and we were...
It was a good cause. It's the Ballard House. You know what it is?
It's to raise money for cancer.
No. See, you came here, had no idea where you're going.
Cancer treatment.
No.
I had no idea what it was about. I was still trying to figure out what kind of doctor he was because he lives...
No, he's a cancer doctor.
Okay, because he... Okay, that's...
He's an oncologist. No, but the it's event...
Cancer recovery.
No. Habibi, you know. So in this sense, Habibi means not.
All I know is I donated $400. Dummy. I didn't donate $400.
Now Habibi means dummy. So you see, that's why I didn't really answer the question. So the thing is, no, the ballot house, it's the house where they put parents or families of cancer patients that they cannot afford.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was something like on those.
It's like Ronald McDonald for kids.
Because people come to Houston
exactly.
and travel all around the world to be MD here Anderson, for cancer treatment, and there's nowhere to
stay.
They
cannot afford maybe a hotel so for a long stay.
That is a
It's a house with 25 bedrooms.
That's a great cause.
Yes.
Great cause.
And you had no idea what you were there for.
That night I did. I just forgot now. Oh. I donated $400 for it.
And I told him it's a black tie event. His wife.
You didn't tell me it was a black tie event.
His wife comes dressed to the T. She looked amazing, and everybody thought he was like her Uber driver or something. You know, he was her driver coming to the party.
Not a taxi cab driver.
Taxi cab driver.
Taxi. She did. She looked really nice, and I definitely dressed like I was.
It was a good event. It was very good event.
The pool.
And they raised a lot of money. He said how much, but I can't remember.
It wasn't for those $400 I gave.
Well, that was a very, very generous donation, sir.
I hope so. We went a long way. It helps me sleep at night now, too. I sleep
really
peacefully. And yes.
So now, no, I tell you what. So you don't really waste it all. Just lick it and see if you're sleepy.
That's what she said.
No, yes. Lick the pill so you don't use it up. All the pill.
What?
Lick it and if you start falling asleep, put it back in the.
Very expensive pills. I'm going to try and make it last as
you
long as I can.
You still take those pills?
Yeah.
Every night?
No. Probably about 2 or 3 times a week.
And it works?
Phenomenal.
No side effects?
No side effects.
You wake up in the morning, not refresh. Groggy or anything. Really?
I want to say that even the next, it puts my sleeping routine, I stick to a routine. So the next night, I continue to sleep good.
So if you don't take it, can you still sleep?
Yeah, it helps me sleep well even the next night.
Really?
Yes.
Do you feel tired during the day?
But if I party like that night, if I go a little bit late, 10:30, 11 o'clock, then my sleep algorithm gets thrown off. So it means I got to take it the next night.
Yeah.
And so I'll take it the next night.
But it's not addictive?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't take it every night.
Okay.
If you say it 2 or 3 times a week, is that are you addicted to it? It's worth it. Yeah, for sure. It's worth the $400 I spent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but I know people, they take those sleeping medications every night because they can't sleep without it.
Right.
So like I was talking to a friend of mine, I said, but it's addictive. He said, so what? This way I sleep. It's addictive, but I take it every night, so it's okay.
Yeah, my issue is that I wake up at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And when I wake up at 2 in the morning, go to the restroom, and then my mind starts working and it goes into overdrive.
Yes.
And I'm having 100 different thoughts at 2:30 in the morning.
That's right.
And mostly about work and the business, family, bills and everything, all the responsibilities. It all hits me at that one time, so that's I just can't sleep. These pills help me stay asleep, and I don't wake up thinking any of this.
You know what is the worst thing I do, and I've been doing it lately? I wake up because my shoulder hurts at night, so I wake up at 4:30, and then I'm really wide awake. And the worst thing I do, and I don't know if I'm sure a lot of people do that too, I get on my phone and I start looking, and then I put my AirPods and I start listening to things and I try to go back to bed. But it doesn't really work. But if I don't use the AirPods and start listening to something, I would be wide awake.
Mm. So maybe you should try the sleeping pills.
But then next day I feel really sleepy.
Mm.
But not the magic ones you take.
Yeah, they're incredible.
I'm taking something off the shelves.
And the next day I actually wake up drowsy or anything.
I like melatonin.
I wake up drowsy with melatonin.
Really? Mm-hmm. Nolan, do you take any sleeping pills? No. Well, you're young.
How old are you, Nolan?
28. Yeah, he is young. But once you become like 55, like Hector,
or you become 80, like my grandfather,
then you sleep less. They always say old people sleep less, right?
Right.
Man, I must be pretty.
You wake up at 4 in the morning?
Almost every night, 4:30.
You wake up at 4:30.
But then I go to bed early. I go to bed like at 10:30. So 6 hours is not bad.
Yeah.
6 hours is good, right?
So what do you do when you wake up? 4:30?
Don't worry about it. I have fun. Yeah, I listen to YouTube. I listen to YouTube.
The Habibi Show.
Man, I want to go see that movie, Beetlejuice. Is it still in theater?
That sucks. Don't watch it.
You saw it?
Yeah.
You went to the theater?
It's horrible.
Wow. The first one was amazing.
Yeah, but this Beetlejuice sucked.
Did you see it, Nolan? Mm-hmm. You
what
liked
do you think?
It? Did you see the first one?
Yeah.
Better, huh?
Is it? But it's the first one's a whole lot better.
How long ago was the first one? It was 1988. No.
Yeah.
88 what?
1988. Beetlejuice? Let me see.
Beetlejuice was 1988?
Yeah.
That's a long time ago. So how did Nolan see it the first time?
1988. Right
Man, you're good.
That's good.
That's why.
1988.
That's why you make the big bucks.
not like you. I don't live in, brother, that was a beautiful neighborhood.
I know.
Beautiful
I loved
neighborhood.
It. Sure but the house was too big.
Yeah.
And after everybody moved out and divorced and stuff,
right.
It was just me. I mean, I had to call people just, to find out what.
I want everybody to picture it's a gated community.
Yeah.
You drive into these.
Did they say a gay community?
That too.
Okay.
But gated community. You walk, I mean, you drive into it and it's. Nice oak trees along.
Yes,
along the.
But then road. The back of it is the reserve.
Reserved.
Reserve.
Reserved.
Not reserve.
Reserve.
The reserve.
The reserve.
You know what's a reserve?
It's like a landscaping.
Exactly. Yeah. Not
trees.
Reserved like booked.
Reserved homes, but but. You, the house no,
it was
back
beautiful.
There.
I liked it. I really
homes.
Liked that neighborhood.
Beautiful.
It was big homes and big yards and.
But it's far. From where
well,
I live.
Well, I mean, you know, Katy now is kind of like, you know, now Fulcher is the new thing.
That's incredible that people live that far.
Katy is not really, it's not far anymore.
Right.
Fulcher, Katy is the older neighborhood. It's kind of like, you know, the memorial area.
Mm-hmm.
When you go there and you see these big homes, it's old already, right? Mm-hmm. But no, Katy is nice. I've been in business for over 31 years as Excelsior Transportation owner. And... I am so lucky that I have met Hector and his team. It used to be Side Jab, and now it's Brand Nation. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing when we as business owners, we get to focus on what we do, and we let somebody like Brand Nation put you on the map by all their marketing ideas and support and tracking. They have people that listen to the phone calls.
We listen to you when you have phone sex.
Well, no, I pay extra for that. But you know, when you get when I get a phone call from mm-hmm. somebody from his team saying, hey, by the way, listen to this call because we think you guys could have done it better. So really, now it's not just me. We have like 5-6 different people watching out for us, listening to the phone calls and making sure that we, like I also got a phone call from your office, somebody saying, hey, this person called twice and nobody got back with them still for a quote.
They did that?
Yeah.
Oh, they're fired.
No, that really
that's
means
awesome.
A lot.
That's good. I love to hear
because
that.
It's great for training, and also you feel like somebody else is watching out for you.
Yeah.
So really, whether you're a big business, a small business, or a restaurant, or a dentist, or an attorney, no matter what, especially at this day and age, we cannot do it by ourselves. It's not like it used to be, you look in the phone book. If you want a plumber, you go on the mm-hmm. internet, and you're going to have like 5-10 thousand pages.
Mm-hmm.
Why... And how would you be in that first 2 or 3 listings? And that's because Brand Nation makes sure you get there.
Yep.
So really, thank you very much. And I see it by the amount of leads that we're getting every day. Thank you.
No, and you know, to Sammer's point about, you know, listening to phone calls, we do that as, you know, we don't charge extra for that. However, we find that is very essential to know how you're handling the leads.
Yes.
When a call is coming in, you don't have no idea as a business owner if it's a missed call or if it was mishandled. And I can tell you how many times that we've heard phone calls where it's been mishandled and missed opportunities. And that is truly just a great added value of what we bring to the table at Brand Nation. If you're looking for a true You know, goal oriented, people focused agent marketing agency to represent your business. Give us a call, 713-999-4661, or visit gobrandnation.com. So how are you? I want to kind of change the subject a little bit because I want to talk about mental health.
Are you okay?
I am now.
Okay, good.
You know, I recently lost a very close friend of mine.
I'm so sorry.
And really? He committed suicide. And we were, I was actually helping him through that process of trying to help him cope with what he was dealing with. He was a business owner, a very successful business owner, had property here in Houston, or actually right around the corner. And he was a client of ours, close friend. He was in part of my inner circle. And he did open up to me early this year about the situation he was in. He had 3-4 businesses. He was also involved in so many organizations. A lot of people really relied on him. And he opened up early this year to me saying that he had a hard time. He told me he made one of the worst decisions of his life in going into a certain specific business. And I won't mention any names. And he said that that was really rough on him and that he got into debt. And he's a father, husband, very successful guy. I looked up to him. He was a mentor to me, but I found myself trying to mentor him. And he decided just 3-4 weeks ago that he pulled.
That's it for him.
Yeah, he hung himself.
I am so sorry.
And
really,
it was. I found out when I was in San Antonio when that happened. And it was an eye opener for myself because I went to his funeral just recently.
At yeah, it Houston looked like First thousands Baptist. Of about, people were there.
It was about 1,500, 2,000 people.
Yeah.
And just the impact that he had on everybody and how many people have relied on him and had high expectations of him or just relied on him. And he so many people that he impacted too as well. And it made me realize that, man, you know, no matter what we face in life, no matter what struggles that we deal with or whatever weight is on yes. our shoulders, it's not worth it going down that
road. There's a solution for everything, really.
And our problems today, they're going to be gone tomorrow.
That's right.
Or, you know, when Brand Nation at the time was SiteJab, when I went through my lowest point here at this company, there was some times I hit rock bottom. I lost friendships. I lost some very close people in my life and hit rock bottom here at this business. Almost lost the business. And if it wasn't for you stepping in, and I won't mention anything specific,
yeah.
But you know, I had God really put some people around me that he knew that would help me propel me to that next level. But even with all that, I still hit rock bottom and I still, I realized what was most valuable to me.
That's right.
And my mentality went from, you know, listen, it went from, I thought I had everything. I had money, I had, you know, power, and I had a successful business at the time I thought I had, and had friends and all these people. And when I hit rock bottom, I almost lost everything, including my family. And there was times in my life that maybe once or twice.
We get close to
close
that
to
sometimes.
It,
yeah.
Close to it. And I can understand how he felt. I walked those shoes.
Yes.
I've walked in his path. And, but I'm blessed that I was able to be a part of his journey, but also realizing that, man, that even through everything that we've been through here at the company and in my family and my life, that no matter what, God and my faith in God has always pushed me to that next level.
That's right.
And if you're watching right now and if you're dealing with mental illness or a situation in your life where you just feel like, man, this is it. This is the end. There's no hope for me. You feel like there's no hope. There's nothing better that's going to be. There's no, just hold on.
Or you feel like sometimes, nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody cares. I'm telling you right now that it's at that point in your life when I use this analogy is that people usually give up when they're about to hit victory. like a football game or football field, right? The toughest 10 yards. What's the toughest 10 yards of a football game?
I think the last 10 yards.
And that's, they call it the red zone. That's that 10 yards before you're about to score
really?
A touchdown.
Really? That's what's called?
It's called the red zone. Yeah. Okay. But right before you're about to score a touchdown, those last 10 yards are the most toughest.
That's right.
And the reason why they're the most toughest is because the defense on that side is trying as best, as hard as they can to stop you. And in life, it's a lot like that. Those last 10 yards when you're about to score something
when
big.
When you're about to reach your goal.
Yeah. Whatever it is. It could be business, family, relationship, whatever it is. Money, finances. There's always going to be something that's going to try to stop you. But if you just hold on and you're going to see the reward of, you know, and see the victory on that end. But, you know, I've seen that. I have been able to score touchdowns over and over and over again. And I've come to realizing that those last 10 yards, when it's tough for me in my life, when it's like 2 months ago here at this company, it was really tough. I remember we shared that with you. It was just, we went through some downturn. Every business has its ups and downs, and we went through our downturn. But I have gone through this business for 12 years, and I've come to realize that, man, I've learned in my experience of going up and down, is that when we go down, we might take 2 steps back, but we're going to take 10 steps forward.
That's right.
And it's when we're at our lowest is when we learn the most about ourselves and what we're capable. And also, it's a development of character, right? Of strength. And if you're able to make that, nothing can stop you.
That's right.
Nothing can stop you, right? No matter what you face, no matter what you face today, no matter what shoulder pain you got, no matter what hardship you have in your life, whatever it is, if you're able to overcome that and overcome the pain you face today, you're going to be able to face life and say, you know what? I'm unstoppable.
The more you overcome, the stronger you become, because it becomes an experience.
Right.
And you know, when they say, oh, this guy has a lot of experience. Basically, this guy been through a lot of stuff. Now he has experience on how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And you just keep on. But you know, really.
And that's why I've said, and by the way, I've said this to the producers here, is that, you know, when I have a lot of youngsters that come to ask me and say, you know, ask me about business and try to start a business. And I tell them, don't do it. Don't do it unless you're willing to face the trials. Like, don't do it unless you're willing, if you have the grit.
It looks very easy from the outside.
We make it look easy.
Yes.
We make it look so damn easy in running a business, and people see the success, or they see the cars you ride. They see the cars or houses that you have.
That's right.
But there was pain to get there.
Yeah, I have.
Right? There was sacrifice to get there.
You know, I have a friend of mine who's been in business for 30 years, mm-hmm. almost the same like me. And he said, man, it's been 30 years and I'm trying to climb out of the hole. So, you know, but also you don't forget to have fun too.
Yeah.
You don't forget to live mm-hmm. because there will always be a challenge somewhere, but don't forget to live.
Right.
And, you know, I was just talking with someone earlier today and saying, man, people say, oh, I'm going to do this in 10 years from now. You might not have 10 years left. So if you can do it and you're prepared for it, do it now.
Yeah, you don't know if you have tomorrow.
Yeah, so if you can, do it. But really, you know, actually the older I'm getting, and I'm much, 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 much older than you, of course. But
only by 2 years. I mean.
No, 2 dog years. That's like 14 human years. But, you know, mm-hmm. the older I got, I think the more beautiful life becomes.
Right.
Because you've been through a lot of scary moments, and then you look back and say, hey, I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. Still here.
And you know what's crazy is that even through the worst of life, the worst in our lives produces the best.
Ooh.
And, you know, I think about the situation you went through with your son.
Yes.
Losing your son and how that created you. And creating an incredible human being.
Thank you very much.
You know, a great mentor, a great father, and a very successful businessman. But
and a good boyfriend. Don't forget that because she's going to be listening.
I don't know. I'm not your boyfriend. But let her come on the podcast and speak. But, you know, it's in our worst that produces the best.
Yes.
And, you know, we just got to life is not easy. We got to take life one day at a time.
That's right.
One day at a time. And you know what? If it doesn't work out, in terms of like business or whatever, it was maybe meant not to work out.
It's going to lead you to something else more beautiful. I think all these challenges lead us to where we need to be.
You know, I wasn't...
Just keep hope.
I was in Cozumel recently and with one of our staff members, Jacob. And there's this guy across the street from the house, Casablanca. Mm-hmm. He's by two houses, right next to the House of Mirrors.
The shirtless guy?
He always lays on the floor, yes.
Yeah, Tony.
You know him?
Yeah. He's always he looks like Jesus. He's always drunk, but I love that guy. So he's a good fisherman, by the way.
Yeah, I was telling Jacob, I said, man, that guy, he looks homeless, but he's happy.
Yeah.
He has no stress.
He has a home across the street.
He lives like he's homeless, though.
But I tell you what, that lot he have, mm-hmm. it's worth a lot of money.
Really?
But he can't sell it because it was given to him like by the great-grandfather and grandfather, grandparents, and no papers, nothing. So he can't sell it.
Wow.
But the guy have no electricity. He doesn't have furniture. He sleeps on
the
hammocks.
Floor. I seen on the floor.
On hammocks.
Yeah.
You know, they sleep on the hammock.
Mm-hmm.
He sleep on the floor. He's drunk probably. But he has a hammock and he has a very successful mm-hmm. daughter. She works at a hotel at the front desk. She went to college. And I love that guy.
Yeah.
Because every time I look at him, I see the true meaning of life. It's not what you have. It's always happy.
Yeah, I see that.
Now, he's always happy.
It's funny because I told Jacob that. I go, you know what? And we were kind of joking about it. He's homeless, but he's happy.
And you looks like good shape.
I don't know about that.
But
I don't know.
But his name is Tony.
Yeah.
Man, he is the best security guard.
Are we talking about the same guy?
Yes.
He's because, like in his 60s.
Yeah. He hang out around the house. Nobody can come near that house when I'm not there.
Yeah. So me and Jacob were joking about him, you know, and we were walking back from Azul Madera.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Walking back. And Tony, that's his name. You know, he has no electricity.
I know.
So if you're walking down the sidewalk and you see in your side peripheral, you see you can see him standing there.
Yeah.
And so Jacob walks by, and Jacob literally, like, jumped. He got scared of the guy. But I was just telling you know what? He didn't have material things, but he seems happy.
He goes fishing,
mm-hmm.
and he catch like whatever he catch, and he come sell it to people.
Yeah.
For almost nothing. But, he doesn't need money. But, of course, I'm not saying that's the right way to live. But there's something to learn from that just enjoy life, man.
And the thing is, I think that's one of the pressures here in our culture here in the United States is that you got to have, we're in a chase to always have the bigger and better
look
things.
Look at
the cars, money.
Dubai bling, Dubai.
Yes,
it's all about like what car and what dress. And in reality, it's much simpler than that. But I tell you what, when you're 20 and 25 and 30 and 35, you think differently.
Yeah, I mean, I told you a story how I used to go dumpster diving as a kid.
Yes.
And then I was over at your...
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It was. I mean, I was a 5-6-year-old kid diving in dumpsters.
You didn't know that's something bad.
I didn't know. I was having
fun. That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, you go and you're excited. You might find something nice.
And then my grandmother would go out and whatever we found in the dumpster.
Did you ever find anything like really valuable? Like a ring or something?
I don't know, like TVs. But those TVs were box TVs.
But they were like working TVs?
Yeah, they were working TVs.
But you never found like something exciting?
No. No.
But talking about that, did you know the guy that won the lottery? $238 million like a week ago?
No, I don't know anything about the story.
My God, in Georgia, one ticket. I bought lottery ticket that night, and I think I won $4. But I paid 20, so I lost $16.
Right.
But the point is, what do you do with $238 million?
Mm.
Like, I don't know. I mean, right now I say, it's not going to change anything. I'm sure it will change something.
Sure.
I'm sure. Maybe the first month or so is not going to change anything. But after that, the possibilities are just, there's no limit.
Right.
When you have, and by the way, that's $238 million after tax. Because the jackpot, I think, was $470 million. So this is his money. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing is, he doesn't owe the government nothing. That's his money.
Mm.
I don't know what I will do. What would Nolan? What would you do if you win $238 million?
Invest it.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds very boring.
I would do that. I would invest.
Yeah, but what would you do for fun? Like, would you stay in the same house? Would you keep the same job? Would
buy a house, go to vacation for a bit.
Yeah. Invest into other businesses that makes more money.
Yeah, but then you're going to get the stress.
No, I would have enough money to pay somebody else to worry about the stress.
No, no, but you get the stress of losing the money.
I was talking to your friend,
Greg?
No.
Richard?
No.
Mike?
No, the Indian. What's his name?
Randeep.
No, he has a business in India. I forgot his name. I can't think of it.
Oh, Sid.
Sid, yes, Sid.
He's not Indian. Sid.
Well, he has a business in
India. Yeah, Sid is from Morocco.
Yeah, there you go. He's Moroccan.
He gets really upset when people think he's Indian.
Okay. But I liked his concept. What he actually hires a CEO for his business, and then he hires a consultant to manage make sure the CEO is doing their job.
So basically, he doesn't work.
He doesn't work. But I love that idea. It's like you have a consultant to manage all your CEOs.
Well, do it.
That's a great idea.
I'll be your consultant.
You're going to do it.
And you go live in...
You're going to do it soon.
You go live in Miami.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But I want to tell you, but really, I really thought
about... Are we going to talk about that?
No.
Okay.
But I really thought of... Because it might change, by the way.
Okay.
But I'll tell you later.
Sure. Okay.
But actually, I was thinking $238 million. What would I do? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the first thing I will do, I'll hire an attorney and an accountant. Just so I don't do anything crazy. And then, I don't know. I really don't know. Like, because I like my life the way it is. So what else would I do that's more fun? I really don't know. I'm having a great time.
Obviously, we have a house in the suburbs. I would get another house or a penthouse here in Houston, downtown, a high rise.
Yeah.
In a very nice...
But I like driving in the traffic and getting upset because it's traffic.
I bet you do.
Otherwise, like, if everything is easy, that would be boring.
Hmm.
You know, there is something with being...
I was
life.
Talking to Chi-Chi at Chi-Chi's Charters, by the way. If you're ever in Cozumel, make sure you guys visit Chi-Chi's Charters in Cozumel. He is...
He just need to change his name. Incredible. Chi-Chi sounds
that's
very...
That's his name.
You know.
Well, you get used to it. That's his name. But he was telling me that's his office every day. He loves it.
Yeah, exactly.
And like every day going out there and seeing the beautiful blue water, being able to take two people out.
If you love what you're doing and you love the surroundings and you love your life... Money is great, but I really like sometimes that little bit of struggle.
Yeah.
Of how can you imagine when you have an issue or have a challenge of how am I gonna pay the insurance bill for the business, and then you come up with a way and you can do it. That's just so much satisfaction.
It's like a video game.
Exactly.
It's like Call of Duty.
You have an obstacle and you pass it. There is so much adrenaline and satisfaction in doing something people said you can do.
Mm.
But can you imagine you have $238 million? I mean, basically whatever I want.
Well, that's why you start another business is to get handle.
To lose the money and then feel the struggle again.
Right, to have fun. I think that's where, you know, my goal here at the company is not, obviously success is, what does success mean to you? Is success to me means is not necessarily the money. Money to me is the byproduct of success.
That's right.
Right? It's the result of success. But to create something.
Yes.
Right? To be able
to have an idea that somebody liked it and pay for it.
Started this company and my daughter's
and somebody actually say, I want to pay you for your idea.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
I wake up every morning and say, why are these people paying me?
Exactly. That's right. Yeah.
Why is Excelsior paying me?
But you know, well, we haven't paid them for a long time anyway. But you know, we pay him. We pay him, but in favors. In favors.
In pesos.
But actually, you know what also, the other thing to me for success, the feeling of success is that when you see somebody, like you hire Nolan, 28 years old, and you see him doing well and succeeding.
I love that.
Even leaving the company and doing his own thing and doing something better.
The fact that we were a part of that journey.
Exactly.
Not that I take ownership of that. But the fact that, you know, if Nolan goes out and he's a major movie producer or whatever he decides to do in his life.
It whatever seems it like he wants you to go.
Okay, like
he's encouraging you. Like, go like be Jack, a big producer.
Jack.
Yes.
Jack was here for a year and a phenomenal movie director.
Yes.
Like great movie director. And I knew while he was here, I knew we were only here for a short time.
Yeah.
I knew that he was This was not. He was only
just buying time.
Buying time.
Yes,
I knew that. And is it, when you run a business and you've done it for so long, you know who's there for the long run and who's here for a short time.
Yes,
you get that. But however, there's a reason why they're there for that short time, and you got to obviously use that. But seeing him and his creativity and his storytelling and seeing this guy is phenomenal.
Yes.
And going to be a phenomenal movie director. And if he goes out and does it, like, man, we got to spend 1 hour,
exactly.
1 year, I'm sorry,
exactly.
1 year of his life was spent here. Like, that's phenomenal. I love that.
Exactly.
You know, and whatever he learned, good or bad from here, he learned something.
Yeah. But you know, success takes different looks or images with different age.
Yeah.
Like when you're 20, success will be like, oh, maybe I'll finish college or I'm gonna meet this girl that I'm in love with. That's success, right? And maybe 30 or something, building a family. Maybe 40 or so is like, you know, okay, I'm saving for my future. And then 60s, okay, now I can enjoy what I did. So it takes different stages of success. Mm. But now I'm looking back, really some of the best moments and happiest moments is when you see somebody that used to work for you 20 years ago that's doing very well. You say, wow. And then when they meet you, you say, man, I had the best time working for your company. To me, that's like the biggest compliment.
Yeah.
But I know because the time is almost done, right?
Nolan's doing this.
No, we told him, you do this, you're fired. So he's not doing it. So I would like for next episode to really talk about what would you do with $238 million.
Let's do it.
But I want to do it as if we want it.
Okay.
Like to feel it like, oh my God, I want it.
Let's do it.
Okay. Okay, Habibi. Nolan, you're going to take a note? 238, not 239. 238. $238 million. Yeah. Okay.
Nolan's like, I won't be here next time.
But I have to say something about Grand Nation.
What? On that note, Habibi, this will do it for episode, whatever episode this is. I'm just glad to be back.
20.
Episode 20. Let's just say we did episode 20.
We did 20.
Thank you guys for watching. Yes, I am Hector, and with yours truly, it is Habibi.
Thank you, guys. I love you all. Love you, Nolan. Love you, Hector. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to share some time with you.
And for the 500,000 people that are waiting for the answer, Habibi.
next time, Habibi.
Wait another year.
That's right.
But until next time, stay blessed. See you guys later.
Love you guys. Thank you.